Good morning, friends. Happy Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025, here with your Value First AI Daily Collaborative Intelligence Report. How are we doing this morning, Nico?
We're doing gold. We're feeling golden this morning.
Feeling golden. I like it.
We're doing good. Really looking forward to, and we've settled into, our first week of the workshop that we're going to be teaching soon. That's going to be about how to maximize what's already in your CRM using deep research and taking it one step further to be able to figure out not only where you are in the market, but where you should be and who your actual target customer is. New term yes. Thrown around.
I'll take it. I'll take it one step further beyond the CRM. It's taking things you already know.
Yep.
Like, or already have, like real data. Maybe we throw in some, like, this is how you access other data you don't have, you don't know. But, like, there's so much gold in them that are business hills.
Yep.
That we got to teach you how to mine that stuff first. Nothing has driven me more crazy than experts inside of an organization not being asked or their opinions not mattering. Meanwhile, we got to go to Boston Consulting Group or all these other people to tell us the exact same things about the market that the people that are in it every day have been saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't get too off on a tangent here. Not on this tangent, at least. You know, this story that I've seen a couple times, one, it's why we need help from AI. Two, it's why there will always be something that humans figure out how to do to fill the time to create happiness, create value, no matter how much AI is doing on our behalf. This story about, human wins final battle against AI coders. Like,
I mean,
why?
How is it final battle? Like, I mean, is it like the final battle is in that's the last time a human's going to win? Or, I mean, just, like, I don't even understand the phrasing of that from people who, like, look.
It's the 2025 like heuristic champion. I don't know the exact event, but it's like an annual. Like, that's the part too. Like, we will always find something to be competitive about, yeah, or some way to create a game to win. Right now, yeah, even if it's against AI, but that's where I'm like, okay, for 3 months, good job. Like, you might be the last. I mean, there's a legacy. You were the last person to beat AI. Like, that's cool, I guess.
Right.
But just the way we throw those headlines out there in, like, this kind of protective, like, humans are still awesome kind of way, and we got this, it's probably misleading for a lot of people out there. Right. Because meanwhile, the other headlines in the same newsletter, both OpenAI and Google DeepMind achieved gold medal performance at the International Mathematical Olympiad, each scoring 35 out of 42 points, which was better than the humans.
Yep.
So, like, yep.
So imagine that, a test where humans couldn't possibly hit. You get it? You guys get it? It's a test where they know already they had to set the goal. They had to set the bar so high as to say, okay, it's got to take, a while before anybody. It's not like physical stuff. So we have to set this bar pretty ridiculously high. Now, again, like I say, no human could ever solve or whatever. I'm sure there are at least one or two unsolvable theorems in there somewhere, but I imagine the rest of it is quite literally like the smartest mathematicians they could possibly find to come up with stuff like in a group or whatever. And surely those people don't compete on an Olympic level at math. I don't know. But to say that an AI beat a benchmark that humans can't even get to. You know, I like, there really isn't that much left. Okay. If you haven't been paying attention, here's a real fast recap, right? Obviously, math done. Medical observation, diagnoses done. Microsoft's model 4 times better than the next best doctor at diagnosing. Okay. Being able to, radiology diagnosis done. Just this morning, AI figured out, no joke, how to see through blood. Yeah, so doctors can now put on augment AR glasses, and they can, and your blood becomes transparent. Okay, because it knows how to bend everything. It's all electromagnetics, so it's all, you know, ones and zeros to it, right? And yeah, so we've got AIs that understand the physical world. We have robots that can charge themselves. So if you haven't seen China's latest robot, their G2 stuff, I mean, their stuff altogether is amazing. But their latest robot doesn't look like Figure, but it operates very much the same like Figure, except that it has the exact same motion and capabilities as the Boston Dynamics machine. You know, that research and development company that doesn't even sell stuff. Right. While they're sitting there playing with their robot, China is actually selling theirs, right? And this thing, no joke, walks around the factory floor and it has a battery in its back. And if you can possibly imagine, when it's too tired, it goes to the battery station where all the other batteries are charging, and it reaches to its back, takes out its battery, turns it, puts it in the conveyor, gets the next battery, takes it out, turns around, puts it in, goes back to work. Right? Even if the battery were somewhere else on its body, it could replace the battery because it can. Why wouldn't it be able to know how to do that, right? What do Figures do? They're kind of cool. I like it. They have charging stations, so they just kind of go and pop into the charging. I love that, though. I really do love that. Like, reminds me of Tron when they first dressed Flynn's kid, and then they kind of just step back into their pods and it closes up. Yeah. So we're there with that. We have machines that can sense, right? They can sense touch and they can sense pressure. We have machines. We figured out the hands. Get over it. We figured it out, right? Not only did we figure out the hands, like the dexterity of the new mechanical hands, actually better than the dexterity of your own. Oh, go figure, right? Because machines can move in ways that your bones actually can't. So where your finger can't really turn left, right at the maximum digit, it can. Yeah, go figure. How much more dexterity if your fingers could actually turn like 90 degrees in both directions? I don't even know, right? But I know that it's crazy because I could hold a screwdriver like that if I, you know, with that kind of force, right? So that's just robots, right? Like software wise, we've crushed the math on building power plants by like 80%, something like that, in terms of the level of efficiency. We are super, super like 2 years, 3 years maybe away from being able to harness geothermal power at a scale where the output would be 7.5 gigawatts and would power the entire Western hemisphere of the United States from one geothermal plant. Google's discovered something like 750 new materials in the world of material science. And we haven't even seen, I don't even think we've seen like one or two yet. I have no clue like which ones they're actually working on. Demis Hassabis has pretty much hacked the entire human body in terms of biology. He has done, he's created a phrase that I have been waiting for ever since I saw Tron Legacy, which is biodigital jazz. He has learned how to basically, on a genetic level and on a very sub, like atomic level, take, you know, I guess virtually whatever in a simulation, right? Be able to solve a lot of the complexities in terms of disease, in terms of autoimmune disease, in terms of being like prenatal conditions, right? We have cameras that can take a picture of your eye between the ages of 2 and 6 and tell if you're going to have autism. And it's all through AI, right? And we have AI that now enables radiologists in England to go to your house and take an x-ray, go to your house and do the ultrasound, right? It's nuts out there, right? If you even just stepping outside of software, the effects of this stuff are crazy, especially when it comes to engineering. China has done some of the craziest stuff in the last 6 months, all due to AI engineering, right? And it's a case where, like, oh, they used AI to do the math. I bet something's going to break. No, it's just a matter of, like,
it won't break.
Yeah. It's like, take a look at these scenarios. Like, it could be as simple as, like, hey, we want to transfer cars from one side to the other, but we have this huge river. What do we do? And AI is like, probably build a tunnel underwater. And it's like, okay, but how do we do that? Yeah, you probably want to structure it like this, right? Now, it's, to me, it's like, well, what good is that? It's kind of like sci-fi. Think about some of the sci-fi you grew up with. Now think about some of the devices you use. You're carrying around the Star Trek communicator in your pocket. Only it's so much more powerful than that communicator. That thing is a piece of shit by comparison to yourself, right? That communicator was about as good as the early Kyocera, like, type push button Nokia phones, right? Now that thing is garbage, like insanely amount of garbage, right? Was listening to a podcast last night and this morning from one of the members of Anthropic who works on the product team for Claude Code. And he's talking about how easily whatever you're paying token cost now per million tokens, like this is the shift, right? Whatever you're paying now in like 3 years, right? You will be using something 1,000 times more powerful for the same price, which by that point, that price will be nothing. It will be close to like pennies. Evidence of this, O3. Highest ranked model for OpenAI was $10 per million tokens. Now, $2 per million tokens. 80% price reduction. I have never in all my time on this planet seen a company say, hey, you know what? We made the process so efficient, we're going to chop the price down exponentially and leave it there. Never. I've never seen a company that said quantity over price, over like instant pricing. Because that's what goes on, like, for the most part. Most companies price things really high and don't think about, like, well, if we own the horizontal, then we also own the vertical at that point, right? It's kind of like the evil people that are, like, good at this, I suppose you could say, are like Amazon and Netflix, where they own the horizontal in the sense that you are subscribed, you're hooked, you've been using it for a year, and then all of a sudden, $1.50 more. We got some new content, right? Like, that's the evil way of going about it. But anyhow,
yeah.
All this to say that, like, you know, even Mo Gadot talks about the fact it's now 3 to 5 months. It was 7 months. Before that, it was, 10 months. And before that, it was like, I don't know, 1.2, 1.3 years. It's now down to 3 to 5 months where the IQ, I guess if you wanted to measure it like that, it's really stupid to measure it in IQ, but if you want, like, the best way to measure it is to say that the IQ doubles. The capability of the model doubles every 3 to 5 months, which is the same as saying you doubled. Whatever you know now, double it. And then by the end of the year, double that. You can't even fathom what the first one does. Now think about what the second one would do. Like, I don't know, right? I think of Brainiac from the comic books when I think about that level of IQ. Like, oh, so much brains. My head
would be well, what he said, what he often says is, with 400 more IQ points, I'll be able to create, like, I'll be able to modify, like, energy in the air. Like,
yeah.
And, like, when you, that, I was reminded of that when you mentioned, like the AR glasses being able to see through blood. And that's where, like, when we understand we only use like 10% of our brains, it's like, you know, have you seen Lucy? Like, can we get there? Is that where we're going? But also, like, that innovation piece, and even the companies like reducing costs. I don't know why it feels weird. Probably just because I created the brand, so it always feels like I'm selling it when I say the name. But value first is like unreal positioned to like just point at everything that's happening for the good and know that it's value for the, it is value for the humans, like mm-hmm. customers, buyers. Right, versus value for the shareholders, right? Yep. Which is what companies have been built and like trained to do since forever, right? But now, like, it's not hard to align with, in my opinion, the way AI thinks and natural laws and first principles, however you want to say it, when you start to think about value, like mm-hmm. above all else. And when you know the leaders of these companies are also seeing that, they would have to make a worse product for it not to proceed this way. Right?
Yep.
Like, or get called on the carpet immediately because they would just be making way too much money way too soon. Right? And like all other forms of business would lose investment and just mm-hmm. like, so either way, they're going to have a monumental impact on the way things have been done. They already are. But if you're a layperson and you're thinking about what these outcomes mean, and this is where I don't know how this is going to go, but you hear things like, oh, you're going to get robots in your house and they're going to do the dishes and they're going to do the laundry for you. What if, like, instead of the value being, can the dishes get done? Like, can we just consume food in a way that doesn't create dishes? Like, that's the kind of innovation we're going to start seeing, like, in the home. It's like, do we even need to do laundry? All these things that we've developed as human beings that most people don't like, right? Like, what are the possibilities of just creating a cooking, a chef to table scenario where there's no dishes, or you can reuse everything like in a way that doesn't require like dish cleaning? Then we start to get rid of all the waste and all the wasted energy. I think this is the part of the energy equation that a lot of people don't think about. I'm not saying I understand it. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but at some point, like, the reason we get to zero cost is because a lot of the current cost just evaporates. Like, the energy we use, the time that we use, to where you won't have anything left to pay for. So naturally, as you mentioned with the tokens, as that continually gets better, like, that's the thing. Like, if they're in it and they do have shareholders, like, right, they've raised a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but like, they cannot develop these products and these experiences like any other way. Like, and when you can tie that together with how AI works, like, it's just all the old ways, just get them out of your head as fast as you can.
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly what the dude from Anthropic said. I want to grab his name real quick, because I really hate doing that to people. I'm just like, oh, this one guy. And of course, if I could even find the episode I was listening to, it would be a better thing. Because I do listen to way too many all the time. Anyhow, so I'll find it. Oh, wow. And then I've got to send you this one. I'm John Massad. How anyone can build a business with AI. What do you know? The leader of Replit telling people how to just go walk out there and build a business with AI, right?
Benjamin Mann is the co-founder of Anthropic.
Yeah, I think it might have been him. But
on the podcast?
Yeah. I wish
on
I could
Lenny,
remember.
Lenny, on Lenny's podcast.
Yes, yep. Yeah. Okay, so Benjamin Mann, and he's saying that they're talking about how he's got kids and gets asked, like, you know, what do you do with your kids? Where do you put them in school? And like, what do you teach them? And what should kids learn nowadays? I've been telling people for probably the last 3 to 4 weeks that the way in which I got to where I'm at today with AI was sheerly, I mean, 1000% everything that I discover, everything that I do, curiosity. It's just curiosity. It's just, can it do this? All right, cool. Can it do this now? Well, if you can do that, then maybe it can do this. Well, I wonder if it can do this, right? Have a problem. I wonder if AI can solve that, right? It's that, because as you start doing it, you start learning what it can and can't do, and you start playing into what it can do. And then you start playing into all the multitudes of what it can do. And then you start saying to yourself, well, if this one can do that, I wonder what this one can do. And then you start playing with them together. You start building your team of AI peoples, and you start working together as a team and start, you know, crushing shit and killing stuff out, right? You get to the point where, yeah, you can build a brand in a day. You can launch a business in a week. You can start earning. You could start going black on that business in the first month. Right? Anthropic is what, I think 2 years in, let's say two years in solid, and is at nearly a 60% margin. How you liking them apples? I don't know too many business. You know who has a 60% margin? Credit card companies. You know what they did? They sat before Congress having to explain how it is that they were able to get a 50% margin, basically by screwing people, right? Anthropic's got a 60% margin because code easier to write, code faster to write, less overhead for coders, pump it out faster, right? Now, that doesn't mean that they don't hire coders. They do. It's just at a slower rate as they expand into different areas, right? Every niche needs its own team to start running it. So there is more room for people, right? As the businesses expand, this whole thing of like, hey, let's build out this department to do this experimental thing. That department gets built out and stays now because it's so cost efficient that there's no reason to fire those people, right? It's like Walmart. When you think about Walmart, they didn't fire everybody at the check stands. They just said, hey, we're also going to start doing delivery. We're also going to start having 24-hour overnight shifts. We're also going to start doing, guest care. We're going to start having people, personal shoppers throughout the store, right? So we can transition. We created 2 to 3x as many positions from closing one, right? So yeah, I mean, like, it is, it's just an exponential thing. So he said, outside of getting his kid into a Montessori school, which, you know, is good luck, but if you can, it's awesome, the reason why was critical thinking and curiosity.
Yeah.
And he said that if he had to teach his kid one critical skill, it would be to be curious. And what I've been telling people is the same thing. Go back to being 5 years old. You remember, everybody remembers that when they were a kid, they had all types of questions about the world, and your parents knew jack shit for the most part, right? They knew some stuff, but like the real things that you wanted to know, like a lot of the science things that you wanted to know, or things that happened as a result of either science or physics or math or whatever, biology. And it's the case of maybe your parents aren't always around. Maybe your friends aren't always around. You don't have a book always with you, but now you walk around with this PhD level genius in your pocket all day, every day. And doesn't matter what question you have about whatever it is. Not only do you get the answer, you get the explanation of the answer. You can sit there and have a conversation. That's the most profound way that you could possibly learn things is to actually have a conversation about the thing that you don't know. Not that you're sitting there reading it, trying to shove answers in your head, trying to memorize something so you could circle some shit on a test. No, you have a conversation about it. And through that is how you gain the understanding of it, because now you've got this full scope of this whole thing and how it relates to all the things around it. Right. As opposed to like chapter 5. Now we're going to talk about subatomic structures. Like, okay, cool. I guess I'll just jump on that train.
No, that's one thing I learned over the last year and a half. Like, these conversations that we have on LinkedIn, like, it creates a space for learning in a different way that has really been missing in the digital age. Like, because in the old days, you had to ride along. You had to shadow. You were in situations where naturally conversations were happening, like to learn the skill. Right. And that's what we have all around us now. Right. And we can actually create the different scenarios, whether we want to learn from a beginner mind that can look at it with the fresh lens or the expert and everywhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to see it as that opportunity first. Right.
Yep.
But once you do, I mean, you're never gonna look back. And don't overthink it with the kids. I think that's so obvious. Right.
Yeah.
Like again, you look back at industrial age practices, like the whole educational system of the US was built to create factory workers. Like, don't critical think, like just come in, get a paycheck. And go home and you'll be happy in 40 years. What kind of social contract is that?
Yeah. Like, after you're done, maybe paying off your student loan, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, we made this horrific trade-off of like, you know, even if you want to be a doctor, you spend like half to three quarters of your life paying back the debt you owe for being a doctor, right? Like, we make it financially ridiculous to go get healthcare because it costs them so much to get the degree, it costs them so much to open up the office, costs them so much this, that, and the other, that, yeah, all of a sudden they got to recoup costs that are ridiculous, right? As much as you all want to think that, like, what we're talking about is bull and, like, oh, yeah, no, the future's not going to end up that way and happy-go-lucky and all this kind of stuff, just take a look at how the quality of life in humanity overall has changed throughout history once electricity was involved. And then take a look at from when it was first introduced to today and how much the more electricity we have and the more you spread it around, the further society goes and the further we go is in terms of like just being able to explore and do and have a better life. The quality of life has gotten better, right? You're not using scrub boards. You're throwing stuff into a machine. You hit a start button. You walk away for a half hour. You come back, throw it into another machine for another half hour, and your laundry's done. It takes you an hour, and you don't even do anything. And what do we bitch about? The manual labor afterwards of having to fold it and put it away.
Fuck that.
Right? Yeah. So the hour that you used to take whatever to do your laundry, now it takes nothing, and we're still bitching about it, right?
Powerful when you can take a step back like that. Because you want to talk about the way things have always been and you don't like change. That is the trend. Like, we're still experiencing that trend right now in the world around us. And I think arguably, like ADHD and high functioning autism and these kinds of brains are ready, much more ready for this future that we're already in than other humans. I mean, like, when do you think we get to the point where that's tested in early days and you're like, oh man, you're neuro normal. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think honestly, when I'm managing my own team of agents, like I've used Codex. It's pretty sick. You know, obviously Comet is very sick. I'm not even joking. Like even now I run multiple agents when possible. I'll have two Replit projects going at the same time. I've got Replit this, I've got deep research going, I've got some other thing going. And that's because we have that brain where it's like, yeah, I'm in 12 channels at the same time and it's totally normal.
Yep. And with that, we do our best not to go long on
try,
the show.
Yeah. Get out.
You want the longer conversation, join us on the weekend because we go long for sure. But yeah, another fun one today. Until tomorrow, my friend.
Let's do it. See you guys.